Welcome back to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen, and in this segment, I'll be talking with Gail Atara. She is the President and Chief Executive Officer for the Gastrointestinal Society of Canada, and today we're going to be talking about irritable bowel syndrome. We'll hear a song from Donovan Woods first. It's called Another Life. Right after that, we'll hear the interview with Gail Atara, so please stay tuned.
If the sun's gonna rise, it's been 10 years since about this time. Oh, stretch for me. Hold your hand out and let me see your better side. I wanna love you like it's over, like you're turning to stone, like we figure it's going nowhere. Or even better, we know, and I'll stay anywhere you might, and I'll say anything you like. Only another life, gracefully set on a 10-speed bike. Oh, speak to me in some language, dread. I wanna love you like it's over, like you're turning to stone, like we figure it's going nowhere, or even better, we know. And I'll stay anywhere you might, and I'll say anything you like. I want a life that ain't hard yet, I want a soft pile of wood. I have walked by a thousand and really think that I could if I stayed anywhere you might, and I'll say anything you like.
To the Townships at 12. Now, Gail is the President and Chief Executive Officer at Gastrointestinal Society. So, welcome, Gail.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And today we'll be talking about IBS, better known as irritable bowel syndrome. And the awareness month for that is in April. But as you said, Gail, it's not limited to 1 month. IBS is not limited to 1 month.
That's right. It affects you pretty much every day, all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'll have you explain exactly what irritable bowel syndrome is.
Sure. It's a change in how your bowels work. So it really is very descriptive. Your bowels are irritated. You might have constipation, and then it might change to diarrhea. And sometimes that happens right in the same bowel movement. So it is a variation of your bowel habits, and it's associated with pain.
Okay. The Gastrointestinal Society, you were saying, actually made an awareness month for IBS, and that was 21 years ago you were mentioning?
That's right. We created it in 2003. We appealed to all of the provinces and territories and to the Ministry of Health federally, and we asked them to declare the whole month of April as Awareness Month. It does affect so many Canadians. Right now in our population, it can affect between 5 and 8 million individuals. And bowel habits are something that you don't usually talk about over dinner. And so this is a stigmatized thing. So individuals will suffer by themselves and go through all this stuff and not really reach out for help. Our website, badgut.org, brings those answers to you. And in fact, last year we had more than 9.3 million website views because People are looking for this kind of information where they don't have to actually ask out loud for it. And it's too bad that it's stigmatized because it's a natural body function and in this case, gone awry. But we need help with those things because they happen so often to people. Our website is badgut, as in badgut.org. I thought it was the simplest way to express this, that you have a bad gut, something's going wrong, and we're going to be here to help you. And we have it available in English and French. We have lots of videos on there about what it is and how it works. We have recommendations for things you can try diet-wise. Now, the other thing about IBS that's interesting is it really is a brain-gut kind of mechanism going on in there. So sometimes you can help alleviate some of your symptoms with hypnosis-based treatments, but I really warn people to make sure they use a credible source for that, because that is something that you really need professional guidance with. And again, our website does have information about how you can choose someone to help you through those things.
Okay. Now, you were saying quite a few Canadians suffer. What is the medium age usually?
Well, it can happen at any age, really. And the weird thing about IBS is sometimes it'll just go away, and you have no idea why. There's something different going on in your body, perhaps your diet. It's very related to your gut microbiome, all the bacteria and fungi and everything that live in your digestive tract. And sometimes that can be wiped out with antibiotics, and then your gut is triggered, and then it starts reacting differently. There can be many reasons why. There are so many things that contribute to irritable bowel syndrome that it's hard to just say one thing has caused it. So we really want people to kind of take the time to try dietary changes and see if they work. We've got a great video up there about the foods you can eat with IBS. Just a lot of other information. It is a little different of the experience for every person. We're all unique. So there's an element of work that each individual has to do to figure out what's causing their gut.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So sometimes antibiotics, also other medication, anti-inflammatories, things like that?
There's not a lot of evidence around all those other things, but definitely around microbiome. So anything that disrupts the bacteria and other microorganisms that live in your gut can have the biggest effect of all on it. And too, just with connecting the brain gut, there's got some dietary changes, some foods you can eat that actually feed the good bacteria. They're called prebiotics, the foods that feed the good bacteria and help the good bacteria grow. So it is a case of trying to figure out what works for you. As I mentioned, we have this information on our website, but it's really good if you can see a registered dietitian so that you can actually get personalized help to what might help an individual go through. There are medications as well. Most of those, unfortunately, aren't covered by public drug plans in Canada, so that's a challenge. But there are, it depends on whether you're predominantly diarrhea or predominantly constipation or whether you have a mix between those two.
Okay. Are there more women than men or vice versa?
In Canada, there are more women with men who've been identified, but other parts of the world, sometimes men seem to be the ones who have it more frequently. So the jury's still out about whether it's a woman thing or a man thing. But I think that women tend to be the ones who are seeking more healthcare more frequently for it. And it might even be tied to menstrual cycles too, where there's some definite effect when a woman's menstruating, where she feels that her gut is acting up more during that time too. And so women have identified it clearly. But in Canada, it is more women than men.
Okay. I was reading that Canada is one of the biggest countries for IBS.
Well, we certainly have a lot of it. I think we're higher in a lot of digestive illnesses. The inflammatory bowel disease, which is a completely different thing, is more common in Canada than almost in every other country in the world, too. So I think we have got issues in Canada. We got to try to figure out why.
Okay, do you think it's related to our diet, the North American diet, too?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it goes back to our gut and the probiotics that live there. I think there's such a robust microbiome that we have to get right. I think that's a thing. There's environmental factors that are supposed to have affected it. I think we've got to be careful, though, because there's not really hard evidence that says what's really causing this.
Okay, is there any hard evidence for anything causing IBS or any hard evidence around it?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are those things where it's a functional system of your, it's the functional system. So it's not an organic disease, but the function of the intestine is off. So it's not contracting in a nice, normal, relaxed kind of way. It goes more quickly, then you get diarrhea, and if it slows down, you get constipation. So it's the functionality of the whole small intestine and large intestine combined that produces the bowel movements, and that's kind of where the problem lies.
Okay. What if somebody gets their bacteria in order? Does it just simply go away, or once you have it, it doesn't go away ever?
It can go away. That's the interesting thing about IBS. And sometimes it goes away and you don't even know what you did to make it go away. But then it can also recur. So it's about 30% of the population will have IBS at some point in their life. And then it could just resolve. Some kids really suffer with gut pain too. And it can go right up into greater vintage years, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I read about the FODMAP diet. Is that helpful, or does it make any difference?
Yeah. Again, this is something that's helped a large proportion of the individuals who have IBS. Sometimes people say that it's hard to follow, or they slip up and then something comes through. But it has a lot of evidence behind it. It's from, it originates in Australia, and it's come to Canada many, many years ago. And it's one of the ones we recommend people try. But I guess the biggest thing that I'd like to say is that if a person tries everything, it's not your fault if it's not working, because there are so many complexities to irritable bowel syndrome that I just want individuals living with it to not blame themselves for what they're going through. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out what it is that's going to resolve any one person's experience with irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay. Do you think the mental part of our bodies are connected to the physical? Do you think that makes a big difference?
Absolutely. And especially in IBS, the brain-gut connection is very clearly defined. And in fact, some people class irritable bowel syndrome as a mind-gut condition. And so there are things going on in our bodies that we're still learning about. When we first started our organization in 1976, it was called functional bowel syndrome because they knew that something was wrong with the function. And it's still kind of in that infancy, although there's been a bit of research, and individuals all over the world are saying, well, they found something, but then it doesn't seem to work for everyone. So at some point, we've got to figure out what it is that's really making it happen. And we could find out that these are a number of different conditions. We might be able to define them separately later. And now maybe why we're trying so hard to find a solution is that we're looking at a lot of people with different gut issues, and maybe later we're going to find, you know, it's going to be 10 different things rather than just one lumped in IBS.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think that the number of people with IBS is going up since you started in 1976, or remaining about the same?
I think that we are, the numbers are probably about the same, up to 20% of the population. And I think that individuals are getting more comfortable talking to people about it now. Maybe we've been working really hard to destigmatize this and to be able to talk about it. A lot of people feel uncomfortable. We did a survey on poop anxiety, and we found that so many people, even people who don't have a bowel problem, still are uncomfortable when in the bathroom stall, because there's a lot of anxiety in our culture already about pooping. And so I think that someone who has a problem, they're going to have more stigma associated with that, because even if the average person has difficulty with that in a public setting, right? So, yeah, it is. There's very much anxiety around it, and, you know, people trying to find what works for them. There's judgment. There's blame. People are saying, well, maybe you're eating wrong, and that's not the answer. We have to help people. We can't just blame them for how they have these symptoms. We really need to be out there, and that's what we do as an organization, out there trying to put as much resource on our website as possible to help people find the reason for their particular bowel habits.
Okay. What would you recommend for somebody that has IBS? And I guess there's no specific test that you can go through to make sure that you have IBS. It's just a matter of elimination for other things?
Well, we do have a test on our website, the 30-second IBS test. In 30 seconds, you can figure out whether you likely have IBS or that you likely do not. So these are so I encourage people to go to the website, 30-second IBS test. They can search for that on badgut.org, And then they can go right into looking at all the stuff that we have there, including videos and like the animated videos about what it's like living with IBS and ways that they might, there might be an idea that comes across from all the information we have there where someone could say, maybe this is what my issue is, and be able to then find a solution to it. It can be quite depressing as well. Like if you're dealing with a long-term gut issue, you can't go anywhere because you need access to a restroom. These things can really chip away at our mental health. And it's something that I want people to know out there that there is help. We have a support group we started on Facebook too. We've just actually started it at the beginning of this month. We decided that we would just do this for Canadians. We're restricting it to Canadians who want to know more and share their ideas and feel very safe in a very private group about talking about what they're going through living with IBS.
Okay, and the support group is linked to the website? Is that correct?
Yeah, you could all find it through the website.
Okay, so if somebody does have IBS and they can go to your website, they can also join different groups, I guess, on Facebook, things like that?
Yeah.
And
we do have that support group. And they could follow the GI Society on Facebook as well. We have other stuff. Everything. We cover everything from gum to bum that can go wrong. Even in oncology, sometimes people are living with other stuff, but that's not... IBS does not lead to cancer, so that's one of the good things about it. It's not something that's going to progress and get worse that way, other than the fact that it does affect everyday life. It doesn't lead to cancer, and so that's the upside to it.
Okay, I would imagine that would be quite a relief for a lot of people, because that would be probably one of the first things that they would think of.
Exactly, yeah. FODMAP diet, yeah. That's a really a significantly helpful diet. And we do have a video, too, as I mentioned, about all the foods you can eat if you have IBS, and you can try that. And if it works, then that's great. Unfortunately, sometimes our social experiences mean that we're in a place where we're eating something that maybe isn't the best for us, and it could lead to symptoms. But if you know that it causes that and you do it occasionally, then maybe you can work around it. But sometimes it will get your gut right back on track to being a regular kind of going, rather than going all over the going irregularly.
Okay, good to know. Lots of information there, and definitely visit the website. So anything else you'd like to add before we go, Gail?
Is that you're not alone. If you are living with IBS, there are others who are experiencing the same thing as you. Reach out for help is the best thing I can suggest, because it's important to not go through something alone, right? And to know that there are other people out there who care and who are doing it. And some doctors are very good about that. And again, I encourage everyone just to read the literature and watch the videos, because we have a lot of resource there.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Gail Atara, President and Chief Executive Officer at Gastrointestinal Society. Thanks very much for your time.
It's too much, our love can't go to waste. One look from you is all it takes. My lips on yours, no better taste. Let's not throw it away. Baby, I'm on it. If you really want it, I'll give you everything I got. I knew when I saw it, how you caught me falling. It's even better than I thought. Your hands on mine till it's over. Take all. Summer night, no need to fix what ain't broken. Our stories, all that we're meant
That was a new one from Jamie Fine, and the song is called Your Light. And next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Learn about Canada's new supplemented food labels. Most of us are familiar with vitamin and mineral supplements, but did you know that there are foods and drinks on the market called supplemented foods? These products have added ingredients like vitamins, minerals, and caffeine. Some can pose a risk to your health if you eat or drink too much of them, or if they're consumed by someone who's pregnant or part of another vulnerable group. Beginning in January 2026, all supplemented foods in Canada will be required to have a table listing the type and amount of any supplemental ingredient added to them so that consumers can make informed choices. Some labels will also show a warning symbol that includes an exclamation mark on the front as a cue to look for cautions elsewhere on the label. That may tell you to limit how much of it you consume, or if it's not recommended to people under 14 years old. These new labels are already on some foods. Learn more at canada.ca/supplemented foods. And that health news was brought to us by News Canada. I'd like to thank my guest today, Lewis Smith from the Canada Safety Council, for giving us such good tips on how we can keep ourselves and our families safe this summer, whether we're hiking or camping or doing any kind of activity. And also, I'd like to thank Gail Attara in the second part of my show, President and Chief Executive Officer for the Gastrointestinal Society of Canada, telling us all about irritable bowel syndrome. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. We'll finish today's show with a song from Easy Tiger, and the song is called I Don't Mind. Have a great day.
Got a truck with no money for gas, got a house but no money inside.